councillors, we're just a few minutes beyond our starting time. We'll just start with a few apologies. I have apologies from Councillor Burns, Councillor Byrne, Councillor Kern and Councillor Savage. Have we any other apologies? Hannah? Okay. And Councillor Brown? And Councillor Tinley? And Councillor Hart? Okay. Folks, here today we have, for the presentation, we have Ronan Larkin, Lisa Hughes, Declan Mathers and Keith Henderson, who deal with the network of water and sewage systems. So hopefully they'll be able to answer any questions or queries that you have. Ronan has a presentation that he's going to lead us through, and then we'll open it up for questions. So I'll just hand over to Ronan.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks very much again for welcoming us down to your office here, Brent Patrick. We always think the presentation is useful to summarise what's happening in our world and how that impacts them positively, we hope, on your own world. And we have the presentation here this evening. Chairperson has introduced us this evening, so it's definitely with us, Lisa, Keith, and myself. And in fact, we've met you a few times.
The microphone. Thank you very much. Thank you. We've met on occasion most of you before, so we appreciate the invite down on the piece. So, there we are. There you go. So, I say thank you for the invitation down. Now, you're in Moreland Down District Council. You know the area as well as we do. Some of us have the privilege of living in the area as well, so we're residents of the area. So what happens in your council area is important to us both as a company, as a water company here in Northern Ireland, as well as in my own case, certainly a resident and a citizen in the area. You know your geography to say as well as I do, but I suppose as extensive as your area is, we have an extensive network all the way through that area in terms of a water network underneath the ground, and a wastewater network as well underneath the ground, and then the various works that supply water to this area, and the wastewater works that take away the wastewater, treat it and return the effluent safely to the environment. The infographic here on the slide in front of you, hopefully it's useful, hope you can see it okay, but it gives a sense of what we at Northern Ireland Water do across the piece. So we have what we call above ground assets. So these are the works in the various places you might see on your way through the constituency. And then alongside that and beneath the line, you can see the various, we try to represent our pipe work. Right across Northern Ireland Water, generally, we have something like 40,000 kilometres of network under the ground for water and sewage. It's an extensive network, and it is the people here to my left and right that run these works and these networks on a day-to-day basis, both in terms of what it takes to run them every day, as well as future planning in terms of what investment we need to put into them as we go forward to build new facilities as well as to maintain the existing ones. And the stats here are useful for the presentation for countries to take away. This is across the whole province, of course, but within the area here, you'll be familiar with some of the works that we have that provide the service on behalf of you and your constituents. In terms of capital investments, again, we've listed out some of the investments here that we see across the various years. So, if you look at the various years, you can see there are 17, 18 the year we're on at the moment. We aim this year to invest £112 million in our capital programmes right across Northern Ireland. And Newry and Moreland Down District Council, your share of that investment is £10.8 million. So again, quite a lot of work going on in the area within the networks here and in the works here. And across the 3 years from 15, 16, 17, 18, there's almost £31.5 million being invested in capital programmes, which is in excess of 10% of the total programme for Northern Ireland. I'd say alongside that, we did a piece of work recently as a company that looked at the ripple effect we have. So when we invest money and we spend money in the area and we operate the assets, the impact that can have positively on the local economy. And Ulster University did a piece of research with us around that. And the conclusion from that work was for every pound we spend and invest in the area, there's a ripple effect of almost £2. So when we're investing in Northern Ireland generally and in your constituency, that should have a positive knock-on effect to the local economy as well. good terms of work and contractors and investments and so on. We've put up here a list then of all the various investments in the piece, and again, some of you may be able to see it. If not, we can get that list sent through. But I'll pick up a few of the pieces on there. So some of the major projects in construction are recently completed. So one of the big ones there that Declan would be very familiar with is Ballydugan to Newry Main Link Reinforcement. And this is a water mains reinforcement. And it's a piece of necessary infrastructure. It's resilience work. It means that we have better access to water coming into the area to feed the network, again, for constituents and for businesses within the area. Camlock Impounding Reservoir, the dam and the work that went on in the dam survey there. And again, Chair, we were out of that recently. We also featured the photographs from some of that on the front of our annual report and accounts this year. So it's an image we used. This is around the investment that we made out of Camlock Lake. And we felt it was a suitable image to go onto the front of our annual report and accounts. And a good representation, I think, again, for the council area in terms of some of the imagery there. The Key Wastewater Treatment Works, work ongoing there too. Creve, back in Uri, Creve Service Reservoir. Ardlass, I think there might be a question tonight about Ardlass as well from some of the councils. So again, that's a piece of recent work and so forth. So quite an extensive list of work happening right across your constituency. And then on the right-hand side, some of the prospective work. So Newry West Water Pumping Station, we had a fire there recently, Declan, early this year, and there'll be further investment now required to put that right again to get that asset working just as it should be. Drummer Road, which is one of the major water treatment works, we're anticipating putting what is known as a clear water tank, so it allows storage to go in at the site, and therefore it again provides resilience. So if there ever was a major problem with that works, and we had storage, it would mean that we have capacity to cover a number of days forward to allow us to fix any particular issue that would arise. And again, that's part of what we've described as a resilience programme and a resilience investment in the water treatment works. So that's just some examples of some of the things we're doing across your constituency. I suppose this next slide then starts to talk about the scale of capital investment and some of the constraints. So even on the way in the season, we were talking about the funding challenge. So we're given an amount of money to run the programme. So if you look at the bottom of the slide here, you can see there's a £2.8 billion figure. So we're currently in what's known as a price control, a six-year price control that began in 2015, and that plan will run to the end of March 2021. So it's a six-year price control period that we get a plan approved by the utility regulator in Northern Ireland, and then that has to be backed with investment money by the government here. So when we were looking at that initially for Northern Ireland, we assessed that Northern Ireland could usefully invest up to £2.8 billion in its water and its wastewater assets and networks, a huge sum of money. Now, we probably would not have been able to absorb and usefully use and have contracts ready for £2.8 billion, but we could have the middle circle there, the £1.7 billion. If £1.7 billion had been available for Northern Ireland, we feel we could have got after that, we could have used it, we could have put that investment in and got those investments made. And then the last figure there, the £990 million, is what money we were allocated in order to support the plan and to get the investment. So if you think of the scale of £1.7 billion could be invested, we're probably going to invest across the six-year period £990 million that's made available to us. And it's our job to make that money, I suppose, stretch as well as we can and to make sure that we have prioritised the investments, I see, right across Northern Ireland, and not least in your constituency here as well, in your Mona Down district. So our challenge is always one of saying, how do we usefully use that money both to maintain the assets we've got, make sure they continue to work as designed, as well as re-engineer some of those assets into better schemes and introduce new assets, such as the new trunk main that we introduced from Ballydugan to Newry. That's our challenge. And what we try to do is balance the best use of that money right across the six-year programme and right across all of the needs for Northern Ireland. And as you can see from the previous slide, 10% of the available funding this last 3 years, or just over 10%, has been invested in the Newry and Moreland Down district area. I've talked about Camlock Lake, and again, I think the council, we would like to pass on our thanks to council officials and the council themselves for the support and for the way we worked with the council on this particular scheme. So, recently completed a major programme of work worth about £3 million up at Camlock Lake. And I'd say we did have full cooperation with the council and the various community groups and the stakeholders. So I think it's a good example of when we get out on the ground and when we get the teamwork right, it works well. This project, it allows us to, it will improve the facility up there to provide not just in the sense of dam, but also the enhanced recreational resource for the area, which again I think reflects well on the council and the council's aspirations for tourism and so on in the piece. And the reservoir embankment is strengthened, and it provides extra security in the event of heavy rainfall. And again, some of you will have been aware back a few years ago when there was very heavy flooding that we were at risk up there of having to get as far as maybe evacuating areas up in the village and so on up there at Camlach. So this work is to mitigate against the risk of that arising again. So it's an essential piece of strengthening and reinforcing work of what is essentially a piece of invisible infrastructure in some cases. We reconstructed the valve tower to help us control the water flow. So again, that piece has now been done and is in place. And it's designed to further enhance the lake, as I say, as what can then be developed maybe as a major leisure site within the district. And I think the council is looking at the plans as to how that can be taken forward. And I say, we used the image on this year's annual report and council, 16-17 annual report and council. We thought it reflected a good piece of work locally, and it made its way to our front cover. I was delighted to see that on the front piece. So again, we would pass on our thanks to councillors and the council staff and so on, and the work that was done through the programme. That's just the photographs that were taken just out of the lake on the day itself. So pretty windy day. It was great to see the work finished, and I think anybody who knows the area would agree that now looks very well. It's a strong piece of infrastructure. It was working as designed, but equally it adds to the locale, and it allows the council to think about how that can be developed to attract further tourism into the area. Another piece of work again works down towards the Mourne's here. So the Mourne Wall, there's an ongoing refurbishment there of a 2.5 kilometre stretch of the Mourne Wall. So the recap, built back in the early 20th century by the Belfast Water Commissioners up in the High Mourne's. It was intended to define the boundary of Water Commission land and Northern Ireland Water. We're the current successor steward, I suppose, or owner, but I would say steward of that particular piece of infrastructure. The wall crosses 15 peaks, and it took back then 20 years to build it, to put the Mourne Wall in place. And we've got highly experienced local stonemasons carrying out the repair work under our supervision. So we've brought in a team of people who do this kind of work. And at the end of this, we will have... there's no readily available local stone in some of the areas, so in those circumstances we've had to helicopter in and drop in stone again in agreed areas, and we've done that again in conjunction with the council and so on. And again, I think it was helpful for the area. It got featured recently on UTV Life back in August, so again it's given a little bit of profile to the area. This is a piece of, I suppose, local heritage in many ways, and our role is to keep this maintained for the reasons we need to maintain, to mark the boundary of the reservoir. But I suppose it also safeguards what should be a piece of good local heritage in the area as well, the famous Mourne Wall. So again, an investment going in there with cooperation with the council as well. Down at the Silent Valley then again, as well as the Silent Valley produces 140 million litres of water per day, it also I think continues to be what could be considered the jewel in the crown of Northern Ireland's water area, the Newry and Mourne and Down district. So it's an iconic piece of the landscape here in Northern Ireland. And we work in conjunction with Mourne Heritage Trust, with the council and others. We ran family fun days here. They've been hosted at the site during the spring and summer. And again, those work well, bringing maybe 1,000 attendees and more coverage for the Silent Valley into this area. And again, there's a significant programme of ongoing investment to improve the infrastructure of the site, including recreational type amenities as part of the piece. We're doing a piece of work which will get featured soon on the Watertown piece, and again Springwatch I think is going to feature that on the BBC in early 2018. So again, that'll be done in conjunction with the council and the tourist board and so on, and it helps lift this area, it helps give this area a little bit of profile, and hopefully attracts visitor numbers to the area, which again I think is a boost for the local economy here as well. We've been doing some work on this as the perfect spot for an unforgettable day out in conjunction with the work we've been doing. And again, we've recently ran, I don't have it with me now, but we can share with the council, we've commissioned just a small piece of video footage, which really I think sets the Silent Valley off with you're always using it as an advert for the area. So again, it's an investment in what we're doing here. It's an important centre to us, but alongside that, we keep seeing a continued appetite for visitors wanting to come to the area, for the amenities to be available for people to visit, and for families, people and so on to spend a day out in the area. So we're starting to do a little bit of work to promote that. And Chair, I've brought some of these little booklets with us tonight, which we had commissioned recently as well. So if you can pass these out around the council chamber, people can take these, perhaps pick one up afterwards. We're going to be looking at putting these kinds of things in some of the local hotels again. And again, that kind of boosts that tourist type amenity work as well. So we have an important piece of infrastructure that has a functional role every day. But alongside that, it's an iconic piece of our landscape here. And is I think, on way to becoming a visitor attraction. Okay. In this year as well, we ran, Northern Ireland Water was started back in 2007. So this year we ran what will be described as a decade of delivery. And we wanted to mark 10 years of really of delivering what matters for our customers, and particularly what our staff have done over the 10 years and how that impacts positively on customers. We opened up some of our water and our wastewater treatment sites, and we included Camel Lake at that point, which was just nearly just finally going towards completion, but also Drummer Road down towards Castlewell and Fawfany here in the Mourns outside Hilltown. And we had strong visitor numbers throughout the day. We had local representatives, some of you guys in the council that came along to visit as well. We use them as a chance to allow our teams to tell the public what they do it, how it works, and for them, I just want to show off a little bit about some of the work they do. And we got very positive feedback about it. Drummer Road Water Treatment supplies 140 million litres of water a day to customers from Silent Valley, with Fawfany supplying 52 million litres from Spelga Dam and then Loch Island Reevey. And that's water that's being generated and used in the area and further on into Belfast as well. So important pieces of our infrastructure, pieces that I think we take a certain amount of pride in as an organisation, and we know that our workforce is proud of what they achieve through that piece as well. So we had some of the photographs here. Some of you might even be in some of these photographs from the council. But we had good interest in what we do, and again, it allows us for people to take our message away around the importance of having infrastructure that can deliver clean, safe drinking water to everyone every day, and again, infrastructure that is able to take away the wastewater, treat that safely, remove the dirty things from it, and return a safe effluent back into the environment at the end of the process. So again, we put this right across Northern Ireland, and certainly the Newry Mourne Down District featured prominently as part of that, with success and visits out to some of the works across the area. If I talk a little bit about then what was ex-Hurricane Ophelia back in October. So the picture you can see there with the waves coming up over the wall, some of you will recognise that as an image out of Spelga at the time. So we didn't take it. Someone from the BBC took it, or some very brave visitor up there took it on the day of the storm. But again, it's maybe to give you a sense of what we do. Again, working in conjunction with you as a council and the other councils when these kind of incidents can arise. So we had amber warnings for wind in place across Northern Ireland. Silent Valley and Spelga Dam, they were closed as a precaution. We put in place reaction teams, so a bronze reaction team stationed at the Newry Depot in preparation for anything we had to carry out across the province, anything that we had to respond to. Northern Ireland Water, we were on full alert as a team, right from the boardroom all the way through to the key guys out in the front line. And we had labelled this as a precautionary major incident, so we ran this to be ready to move at any point. We had good cooperation with the councils and stakeholders, and it meant that the situation we felt was kept very well under control from our own perspective, and working closely with emergency services and the other responders, including, as I say, the councils. We kept stakeholders up to date throughout the 4 days, so we were around stakeholder updates and engagements across the piece. And then when it was safe to do so, we stood down the exercise. But again, I suppose the point of emphasis here is that outside of the day-to-day normal operation, when something like this arises, we have a role to make sure we're ready to manage and react and support if anything comes up in the area. And again, we welcome the cooperation from the council in a situation like this. We couldn't do it without the council. But I think as well, I would like to share my own thanks just on behalf of our own staff right across the piece who get after this and who then sort of almost give up the life outside of work for a few days and really push hard on this kind of thing. You will have seen it as well, I'm sure, in your own council staff, but we're grateful for the support that we get for this kind of work. If we talk then about customer improvements and some of the things we're looking at there, and again, maybe a little bit about some of the feedback we get. So We've spoken to about 7,000 customers in the last 12 months. And we, just across a number of the service areas that we look at. So feedback there, septic tank service, this is where we come out and empty septic tanks at people's homes. About 90% of people are telling us they're happy with the service. Works, they can book it, they know what's going to happen, they get a little notice of when it happened and a record through the letterbox as to we've been out and done it and this is what we've removed in terms of quantity. But the feeling we generally get is it works very well and the contractors we have on it with us do a good job. New connections, this is where somebody's looking for a new connection to the network, maybe they're building a new house or a premises or whatever. Again, 93% of tenants are happy with the service, so there's some things for us to get right in there. There's 7% of people looking for a connection that they don't feel it works easy, it's maybe not as easy to work with us, or it's complicated and we can find a way to improve that. So again, whilst the majority of people are happy, there's 7% that we want to work on and think about how we get that right. And then bill payments, this is for businesses paying the bills. And we try to improve the routes and make it easier for people to pay a bill, maybe over the phone or via online systems. Again, 98% of people are happy with the service we provide there. May not be happy with the bill, but they're happy with the route as to how they can pay it. There's 2% of people saying, no, it doesn't work for them. Can we make it easier? Can we simplify it? Can we make it more accessible? So again, we're looking at that. Now, a couple of things. 76% of septic tank customers didn't know that they could just simply book the service on the website. They can phone up by all means, but they actually book it online, just even say it's a phone call and so on. And it's relatively hassle-free to do that. In fact, very simple to do that. And out of those that didn't know that, 60% of those customers said they'd be happy to use this service. And from the new connections, 80% of new connections customers said that they would like to use an online application. We don't have that option at this point. It's a paper-driven application process, and one of our aspirations, one of the things we're looking at the moment, is that we could put this online, and a developer or somebody, a private citizen looking for an application, could go online, book their application, and then watch its progress through the system. You know, they could follow its progress. If it's falling behind, check in with us again, or vice versa, we could be sending information back to them online. Doesn't suit everybody. We still have a lot of people who like the voice and the telephone, and they want to be able to ring up, so we'll have to keep that going as well. But we're getting quite a lot of people now saying if they could do these things online, it would simplify it for them, it might make it easier for them to manage. And so we're looking now to build that kind of functionality onto our systems. There's a piece of investment that we have to make that, and we have to make sure when we do it, it can run properly, and we test it with people in live tests as well. But that's the kind of feedback we're taking away from some of those conversations with customers. So you can see on this slide here some of those development areas. So key message we get back, being kept informed, using the website to inform. So not everybody having to ring in and say, what's happening in my area? There was a burst or there was a leak or whatever. Is it fixed yet? Using our website to get messages out to people so people can check in online. You can say, there's my area. There's my constituency, Sligo, you know, whatever. And, yeah, I can see what's happening. All that would have kept their website up to date. Text message, again, most people have one of these nowadays, mobile phones, and a lot of people saying, if you give me a text message, it would save me having to go in online again. So we're trying to get to build up a database of people's text mobile numbers so that when people ring in, we say, can we take your mobile number if you don't mind? And then we can put that onto a database. And if there's an area, if there's a burst or a leak or whatever, we're doing a piece of work in an area, we can let people know what's happening just by a simple text message again. And if there has been a problem and the problem's been fixed, again, it's simply let people know that's now been fixed, your water will be back on within the next half hour or whatever. So people are asking that, and we describe this as I suppose part of the digital revolution. So a lot of things are becoming digital. Again, I would emphasise we have recognised that we cannot simply take the voice, the connection. You know, the warm voice in the telephone is what a lot of people want, but we're also seeing demand for this kind of service. So we're starting to build this into our tanks as well. I've talked about the things in the middle, the septic tanks and the payments and so on. And again, we're using the customer feedback to describe the gallery we describe as a voice of the customer. So we can really understand what's important to customers, either in the day-to-day or when there's a bit of a panic or a bit of a crisis on or a bit of an incident, what do customers think about our service and how do we build that into improving the service going forward. Again, we have redesigned the website recently based on some of that feedback, and we hope that that's been simplified. We've tested it and we'll continue to test feedback on that, but we hope it's now easy to find the things that customers want when they go on using some of the sort of the large keys at the top. And on the supply interruptions piece on the right-hand side, we've built a piece where we can very quickly gather, if there is a burst or an interruption, we can quickly gather data from our network, from the calls that are coming into our call centre that says, right, seems to be a lot of people from a particular area ringing in, and we can put that on a map, and we can let people know, based on a map, what's happening with the live feed out in their area. So again, if they're not aware of the problem, we can make them aware of, and as that problem's becoming resolved, and normal services are resuming, we can again let people know just by a simple update on the website. And we're getting very good traction on this kind of thing with people. They find this as useful as opposed to having to dial in and find out from a warm voice. Quite often they want to see it on the screen and they can look at it briefly and say, right, I know what's happening. The text message piece again, we just give examples here. So we've sent text messages out now where there is an issue and we're starting to see much more take up, and the feedback we're getting from customers is keep this coming, make sure this is available to everybody. So the more we build up a database of numbers, the better. We have better contact information for people. I suppose one thing I would always emphasise in a meeting like this is we have the representative's hotline number as well. So some of you will have your own contacts within the organisation, but again, there is a general number that you can ring and get through very quickly and readily and have an answer given to you when there is an issue in your area, so you can get back to your constituents and let them know what's happening. We have a great feedback on that. It works as a service, and so the feedback we've had from people like yourself is important. Again, that slide just gives a bit of detail around the text. So between the 1st of October and the 31st of October, we sent something like just under 22,000 text messages sent out to customers. 18,800 of those related to no water incidents across the province, and 3,000 related to confirmation of payments. And we've sent almost 85,000 messages have been sent to customers since the text service went live on the 1st of August of this year. So this is part of a building way of communicating easily and readily with customers, and it's responding to customers' feedback on how they want to receive information about what's happening within their area relative to Northern Ireland Water. Some public initiatives that we'll bring to your attention as well. So you may not be aware, on the left-hand side, social media campaign, and some of you may have seen this. We ran a small campaign a while ago and ran on the media and the social media, and we spoke to members of the public and said, look, there's been a new bottle of water developed in Northern Ireland called Mourne Mountain Water, and we were asking people to do a taste test. So people were, we'd stop people in different venues in different places, we'd some media people do it, and would they like to try this Mourne Mountain Water, and how did they think it compared to their current water, their tap water. So most people found the Mourne Mountain Water to be better than the tap water. They found it to be very refreshing. We showed them some images as to where it might come from, so we showed them an image of the Silent Valley. They said they weren't surprised to know that it came from an area that looked natural and a good piece of environment. And then we asked them, would they be interested to know whether they could get more mountain water? And then they said yes. We said, well, it comes from your tap. You can get this from your tap. The pickle was good. They didn't feel tricked or duped. They said, my goodness, this is our tap water. And it was our way of reinforcing that from a whole series of perspectives. Firstly, just from the fact that we have this natural resource here captured in the moorings and then fed through the water network after treatment and so on. It's a positive thing, that our environment's important, and Spelgadam and Silent Valley are important places. And the reinforcing point that says, you know, it's good for the environment. If you're buying bottled water all of the time and your bottles are being thrown about here, there, and everywhere litter, the fact that you have this readily available at your tap every day shouldn't be taken for granted, but it's a great thing to have as a member of the public. So the feedback we got on that was good, and it went quite live. It got a huge amount of hits on social media, and the feedback we started getting on was very positive. So again, we featured more mountain water, which of course comes from the Silent Valley, and the feedback there was good. The other thing next to there, the water theft, unauthorised connections, this is an important thing as well for us, because we have two issues here. If people are putting on an unauthorised connection to the network, it can mean that this really is water theft. So people are taking the water, they're using it, and it's not registered properly. We don't know what the demand is, and perhaps it's being used in the business. So we've done quite a lot of work on this area, and we're starting to pick up and detect a bit more of this area. And again, we're getting good cooperation from the various authorities, including yourselves. And what we do in the first instance, we go out and we talk to the user and say, look, you need a proper connection here. And we seek to put a proper connection in place with them. We're starting to get some success in that. But it's important, if it's a public resource that's being made available to the public, it should come through the proper channels for it to be connected. The biggest risk with this kind of thing as well is contamination. If it's connected illegally and it's not done properly with the correct plumbing regulations, there is a risk then of what we describe as back siphonage deck into the network, which could result in a public water network being contaminated in some way, shape or form, which means we'd have to shut it off, clean it and treat it up, which is back into the interruptions to customers. The next one in the middle, then, fog. So fat, soils and greases. This is a photograph taken from inside a sewer, and it shows a build-up of fats and oils and greases, which eventually lead to a blockage in the sewer. So again, we have campaigns running all the while, and we welcome support from the council on looking at what people put down the drains, how they do it, both domestically and also in businesses as well, whether they're food outlets or whether they're manufacturing processes, because when this starts to build up like this, you start going into problems and you start to then have issues again for householders and business and for your general area and for the environment. So we're running these campaigns all the while, and again we're seeking cooperation from the council on that kind of thing. And then very closely related to that, the next one there, the Bagot and Binnett campaign, which has been successful, and again which we have had great support from councils on. So the 12 little symbols which you can't quite make out, we call them the Dirty Dozen, and they're the kind of things that you shouldn't be putting down the sewer. So there might be sanitary matters, there might be used disposable nappies, they could be razor blades and syringes and things like that. So basically they're things that ought not to go down the sewer network. They ought to go into the bin and be disposed of that way. If they go down the network, it means the treatment that has to be applied there is much more stringent, much more expensive and costly, and equally they have a risk of blocking up the networks more importantly. And then the last thing there, the winter awareness campaign. So we've recently launched this year's winter awareness campaign around frozen pipes and so on. And again, I probably don't have to remind a lot of you in the room as to the issues we had back in 2010-11. I recognise some of the faces around the table that we were working with closely at the time in the different areas. It was a desperate time for people. But again, the message we've been getting out since then to everybody in the province is, have you thought about, you know, you're protecting your premises and your home from a risk of freeze thaw in your own pipes? Whether that's at home, whether it's in a business or an office or a school somewhere, we've relaunched the media campaign, and that'll start to play now as we go into December. You see it coming up in advertising and on TV as well. And tonight, we've brought, I hope, enough of these. These are sort of just an aid memoir, really, I suppose, so people see these out and about. We've brought some of these to the back of the room, and councillors are more than welcome just to pick one of these bags up on the way out. They're a free carrier bag, effectively, but they prominently display the Bagot and Binnett. Charlie, I'll be looking for you to be using one of these around Newry. We'll see you next. Thank you. And again, if it helps make somebody think about the general awareness around the pipework and the protection around that, if it saves somebody a flooding, if there was a very heavy winter, I think all of us would agree it's worth promoting that message. And we invest the money in doing that. So, as I say, we continue to invest in infrastructure right across the constituency. And we hope that we are delivering what matters for the council and for the 170,000 people in this area from Saintfield all the way through to Newton Hamilton and so on, right across the full constituency. It's an important area. We're having some success with you, working with you guys as councillors and with the council's team as well. And we think that's working very well. We've seen that this year, and we want to continue to do that. Last thing is, I'll put up the how to reach us. This is the dedicated hotline and so on. There's all the contact details. And again, please make full use of those when you need to. Beyond that, sure, we're happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much. Councillor Walker.
Sure, thank you very much. And gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your presentation. Very interesting. And first and foremost, I would like to commend your staff that works the switchboards in Northern Ireland Water. I find the elected representatives hotline very, very good. And there's one particular lady in general, her name's Jennifer. You know, she's second to none. She gets back to you within a day or 2 days. So she does, problem usually resolved. And that, so I commend you for that. Because at times, before we had the elected representatives, hotline, it was hard to get through at times, and you weren't getting feedback. You weren't getting a call back and that, but now you do, and it is very, very good. The other thing is, I would like to ask you, and it's in relation to my own area, and I know you're going to have to take this away and maybe come back to us. In the Derry Boy area, just outside Killaray, between Killaray and Saintfield, we're starting now as councillors to get a lot of complaints in relation to the infrastructure there. A number of years ago, MLA Simon Hamilton, myself and the Member of Parliament, lobbied for a pumping station along there. The pumping station was provided from Darra Cross into Saintfield, which works very well. At the time, you didn't envisage going as far as Derry Boy, but we're now been told by residents of Derry Boy that there is a lot of spillages there because of a number maybe of septic tanks and that. They can't get into the main system, so they can't. A lot of people now saying it's hindering development in that area, because that's one of the things planners are saying, that because there's not the proper Northern Ireland water infrastructure for sewage and that there, that it's restricting development and that. I would like to know, and I know you don't have the answer now, that could just go away and maybe channel that back through the council to myself if you have anything for that. Also would like to say that our DEA coordinator had contacted us there at the end of last week in relation to the same thing, because she was out. I had set a meeting up in the primary school for her. She was out speaking to people, and this is one of the things that had come up on numerous occasions within that meeting. And I have asked the DEA coordinator on behalf of the councillors over a while to arrange a meeting with Northern Ireland Water to see what's going to be done there. The second thing is, and it's raised its head over the last week, and I haven't contacted you because I knew that you would be here tonight. The pump and the sewage from Crossgar to Killaloe, we had major problems with the smell on the down Padraic Road just outside Grove Park as you turn into Inishmore, and the postcode for that would be BT30 9RR. Outside number one, there is manholes there. Yourselves at the time, when we had meetings and state meetings, and actually the minister had come one time, Connor Murphy, and that, and he did agree to put filters in, and they worked wonders, but there must be something wrong with them again at the minute, because the smell is starting to come back, and this is coming into the winter. So it is. It used to be desperate in the summer, and it's been highlighted numerous times in our local paper, the Down Recorders. We'd like you to go away and maybe as well see in relation to that, because people couldn't even put their washing out in the line because the smell was catching to it, so it wasn't ever having to wash again. So they're my two questions. I know I'm maybe not going to answer tonight, but I would like it, you know, returned maybe through the council.
We can take those away, Councillor, and I don't know if this is anything we can say tonight. If not, we can take them away and have a look at them.
There's odour control. There's obviously odour control has been dosing that line in the past, so maybe it just needs re-dosing. But if those complaints have come in through our LIP system, they should be registered, okay? And there's various things we could do. We can seal the manholes and we could put in carbon filters. Now, maybe the carbon filters...
The carbon filters are in.
Yeah, well, maybe...
They might need replaced. They could be needed updated again after 7 or 8 years or whatever. They could need to be...
If we're aware of those complaints, then our field manager would go out to...
So we'll grab those rules. Yeah. And the other one, the Darra Cross issue, again, I suppose that ties up with... it's important that we continue to get the money necessary to keep making the investment. So again, when we did the original piece there, the Killaloe to Saintfield piece, your questions cannot not be extended now through to Darra Cross, is that right?
No, to Derry Boy.
Derry Boy, sorry. So again, Lisa, we can take that and look at it and see, does that feature on our plan somewhere, and feedback as to where we think that is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Ronan, you're very welcome again, you and your team. It was good to have you in the boardroom here. I'd just like to endorse what Billy has said about the elected members hotline. I think it's a very useful piece of kit. Anytime I have had a call to use it, there's always a great return call, just to get an update on what the particular complaint was and how it's progressing. Good to see the investment that you're doing in the new Moray Down area, and hopefully that will continue as the years progress. One just criticism, that is a criticism, it's the Newry Treatment Centre. at times, I don't know, maybe they're flushed in the system or something, but at times there's always a very bad smile right across the town, city, right across the town. I do get complaints, you know, day and daily for people on Drumley and Warren Point Road, even in my own area. I live at the top of the Armagh Road near St. Joseph's. Mm-hmm. The smell would get as far as that. I don't know what the problem is. Maybe they take the lids off and flush the system or something, and that's the outworkings of that. If there is an issue that can be addressed there, maybe you could maybe look into that, Ronan.
We will do it, yeah.
No, that, no complaints, Ronan. Thanks.
Keith, so, yeah.
Yeah, I make a comment on that. And I have met you before, remember, down at the Newry office. Yes, you're right. We occasionally do have problems with odours from, especially around the Green Bank area. Newry Wastewater Treatment Works is now a fully overloaded treatment works. It was built roughly about 10 years ago. It was built to serve a population of roughly 70,000 people. We reckon when we take our flows that we could be trying to deal with an equivalent population of maybe 150,000 at times. So that's just to put in perspective just how overloaded the works is, just because of all of the building and the trade affluent and so on. But to go back to your more recent issue, yes, we have been very much aware that there have been odours recently. The problem was a mechanical and electrical fault with the air blowers. We have to hold our hands up, it took some time to actually trace the root of the problem. A lot of these systems now are very complicated, and with a profi bus network, it just sometimes it takes time to source the problem. We believe now we have sourced that problem that took place a couple of weeks ago, and I think over the past week we've been free from odour complaints. But it is a constant battle there because the works, as I say, is fully overloaded. And I have been dealing with, is it Gronje in the from the Newry Health Environment Officer?
Yeah.
Gronje McKeown, is it? I've been dealing with her anyway, and working closely with the residents just to update them as to, you know, just how we're dealing with the situation.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Roland, thank you for your presentation. Spoke there for the guts of 45 minutes and didn't even come up for a drink of water. So. Very impressive. Roland, my issue is about the breakdowns in the system. And you talked there about sort of utilising social media and text alert systems and stuff like that. There's a couple of things there. Would it be possible, and would you consider that whenever the updates are being given as to where a particular problem is and the timeline to its repair, would it be possible to alert the relevant council, in this case our own Newry Morning Down, through their Facebook page, so that in turn can be linked to all the councillors? And then, even one step further, would it be possible for the specific DEA councillors to be notified through that text alert? Because I'm not sure, you obviously have to register to be part of that text alert, but the thing is this, Roland, just on the back of that, a lot of the people who are most put out by the cut in water and not knowing what's happening are people of a, more often than not, of a certain vintage who don't do social media and even don't have mobile phones, but they ring us.
Yeah.
Every hour on the hour, to sort of looking for updates, and their updates have sort of nothing has changed. And the worst thing you can ever do is actually say, well, I've just been told by the council hotline your service was turned on an hour ago.
Yes.
So it's that sort of thing. So there's two things there. There's any chance that your updated system could be linked to the council Facebook page, and in turn that can go out to all the councillors, and then directly to the DEA councillors in the affected area. And then just the second point, the second issue, Chair, was just on the back of Councillor Casey's concerns about the treatment plant at Greenbank. One of my constituents is a milkman, so he obviously does his collections in the middle of the night, and he said, the past while up at Greenbank, he says, if it was happening during the day,
the place would be evacuated. So there was some major, major problem, but I am glad to hear that it has been identified. Is it, am I right to say it's in the process of being fixed, or is now completed?
I think that's right, Keith. I think that's it.
It has been fixed, yes. Okay. And right. I think you should find that over the past week. I certainly haven't received any complaints from Grania in environmental health, so I'm taking that as a good sign. And I also did call down, I have a walk around, and I certainly didn't notice that which we had the previous week. So hopefully it's a good news story.
Keith, it did seem to be much more pronounced in the middle of the night.
Aye, well,
but hopefully that's it sorted.
Yeah, I can't give you an answer to the night situation, because normally the load, the sewage treatment load is off at night, so it should even be lessened. But maybe with the how could I put it, the temperature inversion, so the colder temperatures during the night, the odours will hang about and at a low level, whereas when the temperatures rise slightly during the day, they will dissipate quicker.
All right, thank you. I'll speak, Chair. Thanks.
A question that runs through the creek remarks had said that because it's so overloaded that works, but it only has to be out, it only has to be a problem for a very short space of time for the treatment system to deteriorate very quickly. So they're watching it very, very carefully, but it doesn't. If it's out for a few minutes, then they do have trouble because it's so overloaded.
And when we talk about population equivalent, when we talk about 70,000, or maybe it's running at higher, so it's designed for 70,000. 70,000 is we describe it as the population equivalent, so it's the domestics, but it's also the industry and any businesses in the area. So you can think of any sort of the heavy loads that would be in Uri, around the piece, including the hospital and so on as well. All of those are part of the population equivalent calculation. And I suppose Uri has been a growing city, Charlie, and it's our role then to assess how do we stay up with that growth and how do we make sure that the treatment there is future-proofed. So that the investment, when we talk about the 990 million, how do we make sure that money then is getting into all the right places? And if you then take that right across Northern Ireland, we firmly believe that, you know, clean, safe drinking water, 20% sea drainage and wastewater treatment is a really important part of any modern regional economy. And not, you know, no different anywhere in Northern Ireland, not least Uri and Morton District, Belfast City, Derry, whatever it happens to be. But our role is to keep pushing hard that we get the priority funding necessary to keep building that infrastructure and keep growing that infrastructure to the point that it can deal with the demands that lie ahead of us.
If I could just make a final point on that. We have been saying that the work's still overloaded, and we're well aware of that. It's not to say we're not continuing to invest in it, because we have spent several million pounds and work actually ongoing at the minute at both the New Point pumping station and Uri treatment works. We've put in new screens. We've upgraded the primary tank system. So there's a lot of work still going on to try and just make the process as efficient as possible.
Okay, Keith, thank you.
Thanks, Sir Andrew.
Thanks very much, Chair. First of all, I'd like to take the opportunity to say to represent the state tonight. Thank you very much for your presentation. It was a very good one. And whenever I looked at the photographs of Plumer Road, it was a very good visit. It was a very educational one. And definitely an eye-opener. Just two or three weak points in relation to, would you have an update on Dundrum pumping station and the progress there? Also in relation to Crossgar works, are they operating, are they up to standard, is the capacity, are they able to manage with the capacity there? I know when my colleague's touching about Killalea there, you know, between Crossgar and Killalea with problems there. And also, in relation to Dara Cross, as I say, with the number of homes that have been built there in recent years, are the existing facilities up to scratch? But I know the nearest pumping station is Jackson's Crescent there, but in relation to Dara Cross and the likes of Derry Boy, would there be essential need that with the development that's gone on Dara Cross and Derry Boy and all in recent years, that maybe we should be looking at another pumping station for that area? So that's just a couple of wee points that I have for you. But again, to your call centre staff, they're doing an excellent job and appreciate exactly what they do also. Thank you.
So I think what we'll do is we take the sort of Dara Cross question alongside Councillor Walker's, and we'll come back with that. But you're right in pointing out if there's expansion in an area and development and there isn't the infrastructure, then it becomes a blocker to the development.
Yeah.
And that's where we need your own support to say, look, this is important investment infrastructure that's very necessary.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of it is invisible infrastructure. You don't see it as you drive down the road. A lot of it's buried under the road. Or, you know, it's so well built that you don't necessarily see it. It's designed and built to be unobtrusive. And therefore, sometimes, you know, the roads infrastructure, which is very important as well, but it's a more visible thing. It can get more priority. So the more that we hear from you guys tonight, the more we can take that message back. And obviously, then, the more you can promote the need for this in your own area. If I pick up then, maybe Keith, you want to come in on some of the questions. The drum pumping station was referenced
well,
there.
I'll maybe deal with Crossgar first of all. I know we've touched on Crossgar. There was a substantial upgrade carried out at Crossgar wastewater pumping station just over a year ago. There were new pumps put in, there were improvements in the line. I appreciate the complaint, and we're well aware of the complaint about the odour, particularly some years ago. I thought we had the problem sorted. If you're telling us it's not sorted, it's certainly something that we'll go back and look at with respect to the odour dosing and the air filters. We'll certainly take that offline, and we'll do that. As regards Dundrum, as you know, is an existing wastewater. Is it the wastewater treatment works you're referring to?
Yeah.
Okay, so the wastewater treatment works. It's an existing what we call an MBR process, a very high-tech water treatment process that does give an excellent quality effluent discharge. Again, Dundrum, like many of our other treatment works, is fully loaded now. And there's a new scheme commencing next year, January 2018, to upgrade the system again, or upgrade the process treatment, and hopefully we'll be able to be in a better position even to deal with the increase of incoming flows. That scheme is ready to hit the ground in January.
Yeah, well, thank you. And Justin, and thanks so much for your answers and cross guard.
There's significant network improvements in the pipeline for Dundrum. There's two pumping stations, Kilkey's pumping station and Glynn's pumping station, which if we can get the land and the Main Street sewer all need to be upgraded, and we're currently in negotiations with NIEA to get an overall holistic solution for the whole catchment of Dundrum. So hopefully we'll know something next year.
And again, the scheme is underway, about to start underway, and the study that will go along with that is about what, £2
million? £2 million on the treatment works alone. By the time we would update the Dundrum system, you'd be talking maybe an additional £3.5 million.
Yeah, well, that news is to be very much welcomed, and undoubtedly the residents of Dundrum in that area will be glad to hear.
Certainly. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much for coming down to meet with us today. It was a great presentation. I suppose I have two questions. I've got one question on behalf of Councillor Kern, who unfortunately can't be here tonight. My question may have been espoused to you earlier, which was the new plant at Artoal, and if it was working to its full capacity. I think Councillor Kern has an issue whereby he is still getting reports that there's still raw sewage around the Sheepland Bay area. So that was the first question around the Artoal and the capacity of the Artoal plant. And then my own question would be from Downpatrick, really. There's a number of projects that you have completed or that you have under construction here in Downpatrick. I suppose my question is, what is the proposed work for the future? And in that proposed work, will you be taking into account that Phoenix Gas are now coming to the town over the next 5 years, and to try and mitigate the sort of disruption to traffic in that, will you be working with them to ensure that you're not actually going to be having projects in the same, well, within the same route of things, just those sort of wee things there, just because the people of Downpatrick, we had it with NI Water, I think, a few years ago, where the whole of Market Street had been under a lot of work, and it had created a bit of chaos in the town, so it's just really to make sure that that doesn't happen again. Thank you.
I suppose first, you know, we recognise that when we come in to do an investment programme, we start digging up roads and so on, there is huge disruption, and we do recognise that. And what we try and do with our contractors and with the community as well is to try and find a way as best we can to minimise that disruption. But it's very difficult because you're in there digging up roads and so on, and it is disruptive to everybody in a town when that's happening. So, you know, we, as I say, we try to preempt some of that, we try to headline a little bit on the way in, and we try to sort of accommodate some of the things, but it's not always possible. But your point's well made. There was a few questions. The one was around our glass, and our toilets. I don't know whether
I could take that one, Ron, if you're happy. Yes.
Yep.
Our glass wastewater treatment works is a new facility, at considerable investment of, I think it was £6 million, something like that. The works has been fully operational for the past year. Capacity wise, the works was designed to deal with, and Ronan's touched, we've talked about what we call the equivalent population of just over 7,000 people. Now, there's only 2,700 people living in the Hourglass area that discharge into that work, so there is ample spare capacity. So the question might arise, why did you make the work so big? It's really to deal with the trade effluent. There's a couple of fish processors there. They're probably well enough known to you. And at certain times of the year, they would obviously be in the height of the fish processing season. They're obviously discharging a phenomenal amount of effluent, which hits the treatment works. So we had to make the works as big as possible to deal with that extra load. Now, on saying that, our works will cope with about the equivalent of 7,000 people. It only needs to serve 2,700 originally. But we have had loading of up to somewhere up around 15,000 people equivalent. So you can appreciate just the pressure that puts on the facility. And addressing the second question about the sewage discharge, it's a brand new works, and it is designed that if there, it's designed for what we call 6 times dry weather flow, and if there's a period of sustained heavy rainfall, the flows of that works will be in excess of 6 times dry weather flow. But the process is that that extra flow, if I could put it like that, it goes through a storm tank, and there's 6 hours retention there by way of primary sedimentation, and then the discharge from that goes out to the Irish Sea. So it's possibly that you're referring to that time when there is that discharge, which is approved by the Environment Agency under the Water Order Consent. But I can assure you it's a brand new works. There is ample capacity during normal situations, as I say, until the fish processing season hits its height. I'm not sure whether that answers all about our glass, but if you need more, sure, by all means, come back to me.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Roland, I would like to thank you for the work that you've done. I can remember coming to meetings here with you when the water was running down the roads from the big freeze. We couldn't get septic tanks emptied, and you have turned it round. You really have. It's really good the way that we're working at the minute. You can get septic tanks emptied very, very quickly. And one of the issues, and it's just been discussed there, is to do with Kilkeela, is the fish guts at peak processing times, because this last couple of years has been very, very difficult whenever the herring season's been on. At the Silent Valley, fantastic facility that's been created there for walkers and whatever, but we've had a couple of bad instances of dog attacks, and I did raise it directly with your staff there, and one of them was actually very heroic in saving the life of a child when there was a big Rottweiler, a wild dog up there. Mm-hmm. But it's something, I don't know if we can get more signage or whatever, because apparently they were wild dogs, they weren't owned, they were feral.
Sure.
But how we deal with that, maybe something you could look at. The Spelga Dam, is there any potential there, Ronan, for tourist development? Because it's in a phenomenally wonderful place, you know, such a and car park, and everything lends itself to that type of work. I know my colleague here, Garth Craig, was talking about Ballymartin, and it was something I was going to raise, was just the way that the roads were reinstated after the last sewage works. very, very poorly done. And road service will tell us that the reason that the Cardinay Road in Kilkee is bad is because of the way that repairs were done after mainlining there. One issue that's come up with me in a couple of times recently is the cost of connections. Apparently now, I'm only going by what people tell me, but it used to be that you could have hired in a mini digger and dug your own trench, got your blue pipe, whatever, and put it all in, got your road opening permit, and then the water guy would come out and just do the tapping. Now I'm being told that that's no longer possible, and it's done all within house. Now the costs in house seem to be very, very high. And one young lad there from Kilkeel, I think it's £2,700, and he said, well look, can we not tie in with the electricity board whenever they're coming? And they said, no, we can't do that. And I had to laugh, like, the NI water boy is alleged to have said, whenever he said, would it not be common sense, you know, for us all to tie this in? And the NI water guy said, no, we don't do common sense in Northern Ireland. So
right.
I was disappointed at that comment, but again, in the, well, could be, David, could be true, and across the board. The corrosion in household pipes, again, Ronan, we discussed this in length a few years ago. It seems to have stopped. I haven't had one instance of it recently, and I was just wondering, has there been any change in the way that the water is processed? And just on the Newry issue there that Charlie raised, from my days as an inspector in the veterinary service, meat plants will do a lot of pumping in the late hours to clear out their tanks of guts.
Yeah.
And the smell of that is nearly worse than anything you would get in a sewage plant. And sometimes whenever I go through Newry and smell that, I can detect the meat plant and not the sewage work.
Yeah.
But everybody automatically says, that's the sewage plant not working. But Ronan, that's my bits and pieces. Thanks very much for what you've done. Pity we couldn't get you to run the road service for a while, that's all I can say.
I think, well, it's very nice to pay all those compliments. The turnaround thing, that's down to our team, it's down to our people in the business and these guys here tonight. And it's encouraging to hear that feedback, and we pass all of the good feedback back to everyone that you guys have congratulated. So it's nice to get that, and thank you for it. The dog attack, I haven't been aware of the dog attack thing in the Simon Valley, so we can look into maybe signage and understand this is a problem. Personally, I haven't been aware of it, but it's good to hear the feedback on that as well, because it is an important visitors area. People enjoy it, and it's nice for people to be able to walk about it safely. So we can pick up on that and find out a wee bit more about that. Spelling Dam, yeah, I mean, it's lovely to be up there on a pleasant day and just look out over the stretch of water and see the whole view in front of you. I know the car parking has been improved there, and there's picnic benches and things they got. Whether there's space and capacity to do more, it's something we can pick up with the Mourne Trust and the Tourist Board and see whether there's something can be done. And the information on the site is useful as well, so we pick up the history of the site and see what's there. The reinstatement piece, at least we can take that away with us, I think, can't we? And understand a wee bit about that reinstatement, maybe get some direct feedback from the team on that. And if there is an issue, we'll address it, because it's important that the roads are left in good condition when we finish doing our work. Declan, in terms of the cost of connections, I mean, I don't think we've changed any fundamentally there, but again, we don't like to see cost being out of kilter for customers. We do work hard to try and keep the cost down. I'm sorry to hear the common sense comment. We generally do try and do common sense in Northern Ireland Water. It's better for our staff and our people, and it's better for the customers as well. So I'll try not to take it too seriously. Maybe it's a throwaway comment from one of the guys, but we do work hard to do common sense, and we have a lot of people in the business, right out across the business, that are great at common sense, and we get feedback from customers to that extent as well. So again, there's a balance of comments there, but we can always improve, I think, what we do. Is there any deck that we can pick up on the corrosion of the pipes and the treatment processes or anything like that?
Councillor Reilly was quite right. A few years ago, you worry about a contractor could come along and open the road, and obviously this reduced a lot of the costs. The road service now actually asks for registered contractors only are allowed to open the road. So therefore, unless you have registered under those, and so the water service was forced down the road of using our registered contractors. So we are the only people now that can open the road for a new connection. With regards to water treatment, processes. There's probably chemicals used now which are better suited to having less corrosion in the pipes. Years ago they used different materials in dealing with it. It's probably the pH amount of acid in the water, but that's much better controlled now through better water treatment processes.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Rune. I just like is Henry want back in there? Well, alright. Rune, I like to reinforce some of the contact centres and elected members. I had an issue in Ballyhornan just last week, and a gentleman called Rory was certainly very helpful and got the issue resolved, came back with all the information, so I'd like to send all my regards to that. A couple of things. First of all, Ardmeen Green and Downpatrick, as you are well aware, odour issues are a continued theme within that particular area, and the issue continues to be that. And my concern is that there's developments happening on that stretch from the Ballinard Ross pump station out of Ballyalden. New houses are being built in Ballyalden, and then that will travel in through Yardmain Green. And certainly would be good to hear what you are taking steps to address that. Also within Bishop Spray, within Downpatrick, I've had complaints from residents about odour issues at the back of their property. So not actually in the front of it, it's the back where it would have been on to the Ballymoat Old Community Centre. And there is an odour smell that's happening from the manholes that are located there. Another one is the Links in Strangford. There's one particular manhole just before you turn on to the playing fields, and there is an overflow that happens regularly there, and it's spilling out. And obviously with children being in the area, it's a safety hazard. It would also be good to see the sewage connections come out a wee bit further into the rural areas. And I know you've mentioned about investment and the opportunities coming forward, but I am a customer that has to ring up once a year and ask for my free septic tank being emptied. And you know, I empty it nearly three times a year because there's more than one house connected to it. But I know that now I can do it online, which I wasn't aware of. But I actually was unaware that the ones that are connected to it can also get a free one, that we could have three free ones rather than just one. But there is a lot of people that are moving into a rural area and they're dependent on a septic tank that aren't aware that they can avail of that.
Yeah.
And it would be quite good to have that sort of community out a bit better to inform, you know, those that are moving into those areas that they can actually avail of that service and be it online also. So that's everything for me.
Thank you. Thank you. So we pick up on some of the points raised there, particularly with the odour issues and so on. Is Lisa saying you wanted to comment on there?
I know we had complaints in February time because we investigated them. The field manager had written, again, carbon filters, they're sealing manholes. They're aware of the ongoing issues. They have desilted. There's been a few complaints, or two complaints there, one in 2015, 2016. But yes, we've been down drains, have been out, our own field guys have been out there desilting it. They are, where they can, putting in the carbon filters, they're dosing, and they're aware of the issue, and especially in torrential rain, they've identified a few issues. So they're keeping an eye on those sewers. There's maybe not much they can do except that the silt in the fast and silt that builds up there have a regular cleaning. Well, I don't. Usually, when it's it depends on just how bad the situation is. So they wouldn't say every month or every year, but they're definitely keeping an eye on it. And if complaints come in, then they react. But they have to. CCTV didn't happen to find any structural damage to those sewers. There was nothing structurally wrong. It's just maybe blockages and hydraulically, I think they're okay. Although we do have sewer rehab planned for further sewer rehabilitation work planned in Downpatrick for early next year. So, but I don't, off the top of my head, I'm not sure whether there's any proposal to upsize those sewers. I don't think so. I think it's just a matter of CCTV and be sitting in it as required, or
or sealing manholes, which should help the problem. Yep, they are aware of that.
And again, we take away that comment around the links at Strangford there near the playing field. Again, just you see that's a sort of regular issue. So, Keith, I wonder if
I'd just like to pick up on the Ard Maiden Green. It is a problem. We're aware of it. The odour issues there, we know, are very real to people, to customers. We control the odour with a chemical. We dose the chemical at the wastewater pumping station. It is an expensive chemical. It costs something like £4,000 for a cubic ton of the chemical, and we may have to go through maybe two of those per month. It is weather dependent. If we have wet weather, if we have colder weather, we find the odours, generally speaking, are not as bad as it is in the summertime. So in the summertime, we're actually having to dose higher and for longer periods of time. So it is something I can assure you that my guys go out to, and I've said to them, I want that checked every day to make sure the dosing equipment is working, to make sure the chemical has been restocked, etc. So we are very much aware of it. We are in control of it, I would say. There are occasions maybe when the equipment does break down, or maybe we're not dosing just enough at the right time. But we do listen to the complaints and investigate, and just hopefully we can improve the situation.
Yes, thank you, Chair. And just pass on my thanks to Ronan and his team for the efficient way that the REPS hotline's working, and also the investment in the Mourne Wall as someone who uses the Mournes. That's excellent. My question is more to do with billing for businesses are on metered supply, and particularly for small organisations that tend to use very little water. And I've got a couple of bills in front of me here. I'm assuming they're for 6 monthly. The standing charges are more or less the same for the sewage and the water. I have one here, for instance, £71. It's a small bill. It's still quite a lot for 6 months, maybe for a very small organisation. But there's actually no charges at all for water usage, because there has been minimal water usage. And another one here was handed to me, £111 for 6 months. The water usage bill was 1 meter cubed, and the price of that was £1.05. Likewise, the sewage was £1.73, so it's £2.78 of actual usage, as you would say, and the standing charges seem to be inordinately high. Now, what I'm wondering is this a question you've tried to look at before, to see if there's any better tiered system for people that need a water and need a sewage supply, but in actual fact, on value, on pure value for money terms, they don't seem to be getting it. And I know that you need your revenue in. I have no question about that, because you need it for investment. But it does seem high. And just one other small point. It was pointed out to me as well. As soon as they receive a bill, it says to pay immediately. That seems a wee bit aggressive. You would expect to maybe get that pay immediately after maybe the second time or the first remainder or whatever, but that just seems a wee bit aggressive there as well.
Maybe pick up on just a few of those, yes. Councillor Craig. Firstly, on the PME, the idea of that is that the bill goes out and it's a charge that's sort of retrospective. The water's been used and so on, or the service is in place. And when we say PME, it would be great if we could get those paid immediately. We do work with businesses, and we do try to accommodate people paying the bill a little bit later and so on. So the policy asks us to say that this service has been used or has been available, and payment could be made immediately. That's helpful. So I can understand some of these people might get a bit sort of think that's quite aggressive and it's a bit off-putting. But we do work quite well, I think, with a lot of the businesses to try and maybe accommodate them. And so the other thing to pick up on the the volume piece there. So it's very encouraging to hear you talk about the meter cubed and so on, and the pound and 5 pence, because that's what we do. You know, we could supply with a meter cubed of water for a pound and 5 pence, which I think would buy a bottle of water in a supermarket or something. Yeah, cost you a large bottle of water, cost you 2 pounds. So it's great to have that. I suppose the standing charge is necessary to make sure that the infrastructure that we have in place to get the water from the Silent Valley to the treatment works, to the treatment works, to the network, and in storage waiting to go into your tap. The standing charge, I guess, covers that, and it's a reflective standard charge as to the cost of what it takes to have that infrastructure in place and working. And the other key thing to note about it is it's a regulated charge, so the utility regulator from Northern Ireland allows us to charge a certain amount, and then we can charge above that. So whenever we put a scheme of charge in place each year, we have to present it to the utility regulator, and they have to assess it and to make sure that they can stand over it. So it's an authorised charge. But sometimes what happens is you're either a business there may be using a very small volume of water in the process, and they have this high standing charge. It could be that the standing charge that they applied for in East Europe that was in historically is a large diameter pipe fit into that business, but actually find a smaller one to do. Now we can take a look at that with business on a case by case basis and assess what's happening there, and if it's viable to change that to a smaller diameter meter or whatever, we can do that. So again, if you're available after the meeting, I'd be happy to take a look at the two pieces of correspondence you have, maybe take a photograph of them and get someone to look at them closely for you and go back in, and we can talk to the customer directly if that's okay on your behalf. So hopefully that's the case. But those standing charges are, I guess, what the charges to, in order to make the network available to everybody in you know, for the users. So we're very keen that we've issued cost reflective bills, and we've worked very hard over the last 10 years to try and get to a point that our bills aren't rising, or if they are rising, they're only rising by no more than inflation, and we've been quite successful doing that by taking out a lot of cost out of the business. But we do know that any business getting a bill, particularly in the last number of years where the economy's been pretty hard, that does a lot of pressure on that business, and we try to work to keep those costs down as low as we're able to. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I join with everyone else in thanking you very much for your report and your presentation. I just have a couple of questions. Where you refer to the Kilkeel Drainage Area Plan, Phase 1, that's Jerry Oak Park, Greenville Estate. Is that Jerry Oak Park and Greenville Estate? There's a stream there that was...
It's actually the whole catchment of Kilkeel. We have started the drainage area plans. So we'll be CCTVing all the sewers, and so it's the whole of Kilkeel plus the pump in, as you say, from Ballymartin.
That's great.
What the idea of the plan is to do a
study
of the drainage for that area and say, right, what needs remedied, what needs fixed or upgraded, what's the capacity like? Is the scheme working well? Does it need to have anything new added to it? And then you come out at the end of that drainage area study with an overall plan that out of which would drop a series of projects that you would then you would implement those projects you know, across a number of years. You've tried it all at once, you couldn't. So you try and take that plan and say, right, that gives us a view of what investment we need to make in this drainage area over the coming 3, 4, 5, 7 years, and if that then we get contractors in to make sure those plans go in place.
Could I ask then, as part of that plan, that you could consider the Kilkeel River from the bridge in the Kilkeel going down towards the harbour? There's a huge pipe in the bed of the river, but the river is always overgrown with weeds, so some kind of a maintenance programme there, and at times the lids blow off the manholes in times of floods and things like that. That river, you know, we're getting complaints summer and winter from people because of it. Either manhole lids coming up or the river bed being completely overgrown.
Well, maybe there's something we can do there where we can pick up with Rivers Agency and see if we can do some joint work on that. And it's around maybe the aesthetics and how that river looks then.
We're absolutely going to look at that. Ideally, you'd like to take the sewer out of the river, but I think with levels, it's not maybe going to be possible. I know from Northern Ireland Water's point of view, we'd love to raise those manholes, but again, that's not aesthetically pleasing. because we have ingress of water into the sewer, so it's not an ideal situation, and we will be looking at that. But what the final solution is at this stage, it's just early days, but you know, we have I thought that maybe there had been a bit of environmental work done by the local councillors.
It was done by one local councillor and a number of volunteers. But it wasn't registered or really approved.
Right. I know from our point of view and from a maintenance point of view, it hasn't really helped our situation. So if we could get there out of there, we would, but that may not be possible. So obviously we'll be liaising with yourselves when we come up with the proposed solutions, but we are aware that it is a...
That's great, thank you. The other part of my question is, when it was raised about the road through Ballymartin Village, there are a number of other side roads going up towards the head road in the side of the valley, where Water Service have had to put in new pipes and fix pipes. Those roads also need looked at, because the aging of them where they dug the sack wasn't really properly reinstated and has broken up with cold weather, frost, not getting in. So some of them need looked at for a bit of maintenance and things like that. I'm thinking particularly of the lights of the Old Town Road.
Was it the Old Town Road?
Yes.
Usually our contractors, we have a maintenance period, and the road service go out and inspect our reinstatement, and if it's not up to their standard, then our contractor has to come back and redo it. So usually it's a 2-year maintenance period. So on inspection,
it's passed.
Yeah.
Right. The other one, my other part of my question is, the water hydrants, particularly for the fire service, the lids on them. Now, recently there was a fire quite close to me, and when the fire service tried to open the lids, it was stuck. They had pinch bars at it and 5-foot-long crowbars at it, and couldn't get the lid open. So they had to remove the fire tender and reload it with water. Is there any kind of maintenance program checking that these lids are at least openable, so that in an emergency something can be done?
Yes, the staff from the fire authority, they're responsible for checking the lids for the fire hydrants, and they send us a list. I think they carry out a check once every 12 months. But we get a list sent to us on not only whether they can get the lids on, whether they can get the hydrant equipment on, and they run the hydrants to check them. But they come to Water Service about every 12 months, and we carry out the maintenance for them on their behalf. Of course, there is occasions when we might be at the fire hydrants ourselves for flushing exercises. Mm-hmm. But yes, the maintenance, and if we happen to find there was a problem getting the hydrant, we obviously would carry it out. But yes, the fire authority do send us a list with maintenance on a regular basis.
Well, this was at St. Joseph's Cottage, or St. Joseph's Bungalows in Ballymartin Village. And the local neighbours said they hadn't seen anybody near the hydrants for years.
Years.
As a matter of fact, with the crowbar, they were going to take the lid free and everything out of the road. You know, the whole tarmac and all was moving. It was stuck that firmly.
So we can take a look at that one, definitely.
Yes,
St. Joseph's
Cottage is there. St. Joseph's Cottage and St. Joseph's Bungalows, there's a wee square.
Yeah.
My last point is a question, maybe. You have a fantastic facility in the Silent Valley, and you were talking about the play area and the use. There are a number of charities who hold 10K runs and things like that to raise funds. Is there any chance that you would offer them the use of that facility to do those charitable runs with them? Because it means they don't have to organise as many marshals and the whole risk assessment and danger in the roads. Inside the Silent Valley is a perfect venue for some of those.
We have done a number of those over the last few years. So we have hosted some of those kinds of events. Now there's a cost to us of doing it and marshalling, making sure our guys are and staff on site and so on. But we have done that and done it quite successfully in the area. What we have to do is work with the particular charities to make sure that they have event insurance in place, and then we obviously have our own public liability insurance around the centre itself. But no, it's an excellent suggestion, and it's something we do And I think it's starting to become a bit more of an increased demand on different things. But certainly something, if we're asked to look at it, we look closely at the event. We make sure the organisers are bona fide and we understand the nature of the charity and so on. And then we have quite successfully facilitated a few of those over the last few years.
Well, that's great news. Thanks very much for that. And you've already passed it quite regularly. It's more stimulus. If you were asking me to ask that question.
Thank you.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I'd like to congratulate you on the great work that you do and your team, Ronan. The way you do it, the very high standard. You're always available and your colleague mechanism second to none. Just a wee simple question. Has Phoenix Gas caused you any complications with their excavations and have also wee bone issue? Maybe like a wee chat with you after, if that's okay.
So Phoenix Gas, No, they're in expansion mode. They have licenses to come down and put gas into this area and into the Orange Peninsula as well. And I need to refer to them, unless some of the team tells me different. But I'm happy to be educated. They generally work quite well. There is a protocol in place with utilities where they have to work with each other. And if they're putting infrastructure in that comes across our infrastructure, there's protocols in place to make sure that we both understand that. And a workaround is available and a capital scheme put in place that either of us would then have to pay for, depending on who's looking for the move. There are, like any utility, there are some times where somebody's putting in some pipe work or there's an issue and they maybe hit a piece of our infrastructure. And at that point, we're notified by them. We put somebody straight onto it and the idea is to repair it immediately. And then rather than the public person having to pick up the cost of that, the utility, Stones Utility Strike, I suppose, they would have to then pay for the cost of putting the infrastructure back in good working order. In the same way as if we were doing some work and we had BT or electricity or something else, we have to put it right and we have to pick the tab up for that as well. So there's good protocols in place that generally work quite well. And one of the biggest things basically when they were putting a new pipe and a new gas main in, they were looking at what we described as we have a strategic trunk lane in place, and there was a full evaluation of what they could do to come around that pipe and how that would work, so that they wouldn't disturb a strategic trunk lane, and nor would we not have access to that if we had to go in and do remediation work on it again. And again, the two teams, Phoenix's team and our own team, worked very closely on that and cooperated very well, and to the point that there was a scheme agreed as to how it could be done by Phoenix. Well, hopefully that's helpful. On the bill, we can pick up after.
Yeah, thanks, sir. Thanks, Roland, for your excellent and very comprehensive presentation. I was very impressed with it. I'd also like to echo all the sentiments of all the councillors here and just thanking the departments for the work that they've undertaken and carried out so professionally over the years. It's a question about the Newry treatment plant at Greenbank. I know Henry introduced a point there that maybe it's the meat people down there as well. The problem has increased, but nevertheless, I have to say, as a long-term resident of the old Warren Point Road, the smells emanating from Greenbank itself were just horrific. There's no words to say otherwise. And just given the statistics that you yourselves have provided, in the sense that it's twice overused in terms of the population, would it not be wise, maybe in the long term, to have a plan in place to introduce a new plant at that juncture? Because for one, I can't see, as a Newry resident, Newry decreasing in population. I can only see it expanding even further in the years ahead. And I think it would be a good idea maybe to consider that. The second point is just particular to myself. I seem to be approached in recent years by people with burst pipes and gone out and visited them and seen the impact of burst pipes on people's houses, and scary stuff really, especially around holiday periods, around Christmas and that. Is there any statistics in relation to burst pipes there? I know you have invested quite a bit in warning people about the importance of insulating your home properly. But have these plans worked, and are you You're happy that enough people are aware of the importance of installation both at the homes and properties?
We, on the points noted on the new treatment work, and of course that then looks at part of our future proof in the service. Do we need to expand and do a different piece of infrastructure at the work? So that's something that's taken care of through the capital planning process when we look at capacity. On the first piece, we introduced a very strong media campaign on television, on radio, on billboards, and in the local media. After the free thaw events of 10/11, which really were devastating for customers, and we made no policy. We were now just advertising TV as well around protect your pipes, and we then tested through polling. Had people seen the advert? Did they recognise the advert? And we got a very strong response that people had seen the adverts. They recognised them. We asked them where they saw them. We were able to quote different faces. We also did then further work on our own website, putting information on websites and through different groups, and we picked up with some of the hardware and DIY stores across Northern Ireland, and they had seen a direct link between the adverts going out in early December and people going into their stores and saying, can I have some of the pipe insulation material? So they saw demands that go up, so we could see a direct correlation between our advert and people responding to that. What we tried to do is shift the campaign on away from protect your pipes to protect your assets, your family home and the disruption that can cause. If you're a student living in a student accommodation and you leave it for the winter and you leave no heating on or whatever, the impact that can have, so have you drained the system down and so on. And the big things we saw as well is for businesses and offices and not least schools. So we worked with the education authorities. A lot of schools get damaged at the time of the freeze thaw because their pipes inside their own buildings froze, not our network, it was their pipes. And basically ran water through the school for a number of days, and we actually took an active role working with them to alert them to that at the time, to go in and help them isolate stopcocks and that kind of thing. So we've seen a direct link between those adverts going out and raising that awareness with the public, and the public generally responding quite well to it. I think the question we always have is, when would you stop doing that? Would you stop doing it this year or next year? And We've taken the decision each year to run with a campaign to remind people, because it isn't that long ago that it had a big impact here, back 7 years ago. So we'll run the campaign again next year. We'll invest the money in running that campaign again this year. And we're trying to bring other partners in with us, so being sure the education authorities were the housing executive. And in some cases as well, you see messages going out now from the insurance industry as well. So hopefully that continues to raise awareness, and we'll continue to do the campaign in the meantime.
If I could just close on the Newry treatment, I wouldn't like the message to be taken away that the works is, say, twice over capacity. No, it's certainly fully loaded, which means it's more than capacity, but we have taken samples in that samples whereby we have had on occasions inlet loadings of more than twice the design load. Now, it wouldn't be that all of the time, but it certainly is fully loaded, as we would describe it. And a lot of the extra loading is coming about from, as you rightly point out, the increased development, both in housing and industrial and trade affluent. We are very much aware that at some time in the future, we're going to have to extend the works, and that would be a massive piece of work and in capital investment, because we identified we would need, there are four treatment basins there, and we identified we would need two additional treatment basins. But as you rightly point out, as you're fully aware, it's in the middle of a completely built-up area, and at the minute, as we sit, we wouldn't have available land on the existing site to build those two extra treatment basins. So sometime in the future, there will have to be serious thinking as to how we will be able to build that extra treatment capability. Who knows, sometime in the future it may mean that the works move somewhere else, but we're talking certainly quite a number of years down the line.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Rowan, I just want to raise an issue in relation to one of your bits of plant in Drummond Tee, in the Ballymalla Road. It was an upgrade done about 3 years ago on it, I believe. And I think it was it was updated in order to provide for another 50 houses that are planned within the area, close to it. At the time of the planning for the upgrade, there was talks with one or two of the developers that were developing the houses along that road. The postcode's BT358TD. At the time, as I said, there was talks with one or two of the developers. One of the estates did start, but at the time, the developers were under the illusion that there was going to be the infrastructure to access this new piece of plant, this new sewage works was going to be put in place. However, it never was. So now we have a situation where there's up to 50 houses in the process of being built or developed over the next year or so on the opposite side of the road, and no actual infrastructure to access the plant that was put in place. Now, the upgrade was greatly welcomed in the area and was certainly needed, but those developers at the time may not have had a written agreement as such, but I thought they were of the understanding that this infrastructure would be put in place, i.e. the pipework, the available pipework to access the sewage works, but it never was put in place. So they're in a position now where they're on the opposite side of the road. There was a possible plan for a pumping station below the houses in order to pump up to the sewage plant, but again, that has not developed. So they're in a position now where they don't have access to the plant, and they are unaware of any intention to provide the infrastructure now, 3 years later. I did attempt to chase this up within the department, and I did actually get anywhere with some of the engineers that I'd been talking to I'd worked on it. It just seemed to go around in circles for a long time there, and I didn't actually get an answer as to, there was no commitment or acknowledgement that there was a sort of agreement arrived at in relation to access to the plant. You know. So I was just wondering, could you just get me an update on that?
Is this for a first-time service? You said Drummond T?
Yes, yeah.
Well,
it's the Ballinamata Road, Drummond T.
Have the houses been built?
At the present, no, there's only four of the houses built. There is an intention for the rest to be built over, probably over the course of the next 12 months or 2 years.
I know there's a few I would do with first-time services, and there's Chapel View, Cross Midland, there's ongoing development. Now, what we would do, the developer would agree to a new pumping station and fire sewers, pumping mains, and etc. But then the developer will have to make the shortfall contribution to Northern Ireland Water. There is a certain allowance that's made for, depending on the amount of new units. So even in this area, I would have maybe 60% of first-time service schemes on hold awaiting developer contributions.
Yeah.
So I don't know the whole story there, but it may be on hold because the developer needs to contribute the shortfall.
That's right.
And ideally, he shouldn't be, you know, building on until that agreement has been reached.
Probably under planning rules and so on, you ought not to be doing it because you're on the risk of no infrastructure being built and the houses being sold, which would be a disaster for those people buying the houses.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw some of that when the kind of financial markets collapsed and people were sort of wrong strand over this. They bought a place, but there wasn't proper surety in place, and it was the developer's role to make sure that they had satisfied the planning authorities and themselves that there was proper provision for infrastructure. So Lisa's describing where Northern Ireland Water makes a contribution. We cost the scheme up based on what's going in and what capacity is needed to deal with the waste, and then we work out a unit cost allowance that we give for the different units going in, and that's no different from a housing or a hotel development agreement. There's a hotel development in the area, and again, we've recently been through the review of that. And then the developer then would work out from that what's the total cost of the scheme, what allowances will Northern Ireland Water make based on the sets that, you know, the standard set of rules that apply to every developer, and then we would then take those allowances off the gross cost of the scheme. And then you would set out for the developer the net cost that he or she would have to contribute in order for the scheme to have adequate sewage provision. So we work with all the developers that way, and we're more than happy to work with the guys developing here if you have details of who the developer is.
I understand that the contributions that have to be made by the developers, but at the time that the upgrade was being planned, they were of the opinion that the piping, the infrastructure, would have been put in place along the road for them to access from the estates onto it, and it never was. But although the plant was put in, there's never any piping put along the road in order to give them access to it. The issue in relation to four of the houses are built, three of them are occupied in one of the developments, and yes, that is an issue for those residents now, where they don't actually have access to the main sewage that was supposed to go in with the development.
The developer has the responsibility for knowing and making sure that he's building a development and selling it on to the householder that has adequate provision in place. You know, we're happy to pick up the detail and run through what would the cost of connections be, and what unit cost allows.
Would it be possible for you to access a file relating to
the top, our developer services is probably our developer services, and you maybe should be taking this, take the issue up with a.
We can take it away this evening, and we can talk to the developer services team about it, and so it's not a cold start again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What we need is the detail.
The inquiries that I made, I didn't get anywhere with it. Nobody actually came back to me with any detail of what happened and why this. You know, it went wrong as such in relation to what the developers thought was happening. And
well, probably why it didn't proceed was because we were waiting for the developer to contribute.
I understand.
The developer has not contributed to the scheme. We do not proceed with the scheme unless we get the contribution required.
Well, you're dealing with three different developers. I'd be anxious to actually know the basis of what actually was decided or discussed or went on at the time, but I can't find any
sometimes details. We get developers, you know, agreeing and we'll say they will work together, and when it comes to the budget, it's just not that easy to get them to all work together. So, but again, our developer services could tell you the history there and that one.
If we can pick up the details, then we can ask the developer services to go back into the files and look what's there, and we can pick up with you or the developers again. But it's important that people who are buying the houses have adequate provision for sewage and drainage.
I understand that, yeah.
That's the real crux of it. You know,
but would you be able to come back to me to let me know whether there's you have found anything in relation to it?
Well, I'd rather talk to you and get details first, because what I want to avoid doing is saying to our developer service team, can you go and have a hunt about Drummond Heath or something? And it's been a bit of a wild goose chase, but if you say to me it's developer X, Y, and Z at that postcode, we can then say, right, yeah, there's a back file here that says, you know, inquiries were made by developers, but nothing was followed up.
I have nothing here, and I would know about all the first-time services that are on the books that have come for capital development, and Drummond Heath doesn't feature here, so
that's okay.
We
aren't
Drummond Heath,
that's the one. That's not the case. Thanks. We'll have to pick up afterwards.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Panel, if you're getting tired at this stage, the only danger of sitting in so long is that they actually give them more time to come up with more questions. That's a negative bit for you. Just a couple of wee points just to make. I was just thinking there, we're developing our local area plan at the moment. I was just thinking how, you know, in the event that we have put in more housing developments and etc. throughout the whole of the council area, have you actually the capacity to supply water to them? You know, what is it like the next 25, 30, 40 years? Just struck me that. Now, down to more basic stuff then, I just noticed, fair enough, your system worked quite well from the councillor's helpline, etc. But do you find that your database, your customer database, isn't very accurate? And it's very hard to get a change corrected. You know, I spend a considerable amount of time with a constituent getting something, in fact, two people getting something corrected. And they still got a bill out for the same address from somebody who was deceased 30 years ago. You know, it made the whole thing look rather foolish looking. And the other one was that again on the billing, and remember the governors of Cag Primary School in Bourne, and there was a fault with one of the trip switches inside the school, which nobody could have been aware of, but it resulted in a bill of £8,000. And I just thought that the service wasn't great in terms of the bill arrived very rapidly, but you know the correction of it was less rapid, and in fact it's still going on. You know where there was a presumption that the water that was being taken out of the system was going through the treatment, so that was subject to a treatment charge. Without any really evidence of it, the school got a bill, and you know what it's like trying to manage the school at the moment in terms of the budgets and constraints. So it really, really did put the wits up the principal and staff.
Yes.
It's still going on, and it still hasn't been finally fully resolved, you know, for the actual water that was used.
Yes.
And the school's only up 5 years, and I'm not too sure about the guarantees surrounding the piece of equipment that didn't trip and didn't close the water off, you know, at the time. But I just felt that it was, and I got involved as well, but there wasn't a big lot of feedback as well. There's a few elected members were involved, but I think the feedback wasn't great.
And what school was it?
Cag Primary School in Bourne. But it's been
going
on.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's relatively new. It's opened about 5 years, 5 or 6 years ago, same place. But I just felt that it wasn't very well handled, you know, and there wasn't much sympathy going really. It was just get the bill out, and you owe this amount of money, end of story. And then you had to go into reverse and, you know, subsequently withdraw one of the bills.
Yes.
But there's still that outstanding one you would still like to be dealt with. You know?
Okay, well, we'd like to deal with two, and certainly there's money over like that. But if there's an issue with the bill, we'd try to get those bills right.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a school, as I say, and there was no intention there to waste water as such. It was just a fault. I don't know what you can do just about one-off situation like that.
But probably quite often, unfortunately, very little, because then if you say that we'll make this an exception, then you know the next day we could have a business ring up and say, look,
you know, but then they are exceptions are exceptions.
And you know, what we try to do is we try to work with someone like that in Carrick Primary School where there is an issue like that. We try to say, okay, have we made sure we've made all the allowances available that we can do? So that we minimise the bill. So perhaps that's something we can look at.
Yeah.
So when we start making an exception for one, it suddenly becomes.
Yeah. There are exceptional circumstances, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that I know I work at Barbara Agriculture. I walk around fields, and be honest with you, you know, you'd see water flowing all over the place.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is negligence as opposed to an exceptional, you know, situation.
So I'll ask just for a bit of a heads up as to where we are.
Would you?
Yeah.
You know, already before the meeting, I did give you some details on that.
Yes.
A couple of years so there, so appreciate it, like, something back on that. But just in it, just the first question again was about the capacity.
Do you want to take this on capacity?
Over the last number of years, maybe 6-7 years, Water Service has done quite a bit of work throughout the council area, carrying out soil studies, and a lot of the they looked basically at the structure of the mains, looked at areas where if a main burst more than 3, 4, 5, there was parameters set. If there was water quality issues with dirty water, so these were the parameters that were set and recommendations were followed up. And there's been an extensive amount of water main replacement throughout the area. In fact, that has been very, very successful in the amount of reduction in force on the water quality. Now they're actually coming back to do the next soil study. So all those areas are being addressed. And yes, you are exactly right. That it's based on a 25-year programme. They look at the hydraulics of the mains and they look and see that's a 4-inch main, it's a built up area now, it needs a 6-inch or a bigger main. So the size of the mains are looked at, the trunk mains are looked at, the frequency of burst, and it's all based on a 25-year programme. One of the problems we did have in the area particularly was water treatment. We have Spelga Dam and Fafney Water Treatment Works in the Newry area. We have Cairn Hill out in South Armagh. and we did have difficulties in the freeze thaw 2010-11. And as a consequence of that, Roland talked about the Ballydugan scheme. So there was a new 600mm main laid from Loch Ney through Portadown and all the way to Newry. And along the way, there was a George Pass, there was a pumping station which pumps right into the Cross McLean area and pumps into the Armbridge area. And it also comes in and pumps to both west and east of Newry Town. So that has been a big, big step forward. I know I would have a bit more confidence. I'm not saying that a freeze thaw wouldn't be challenging, but certainly if we were in the position we are now, it wouldn't have been anywhere near as bad. So that is a issue that we have and continue to look at. No. There is no problem with the capacity of water in the area. No, thank you.
Well, I mean, the wider piece of work across, again, the whole area, as we look at, is the water resource management plan.
Yeah.
That looks at that demand and supply side and tries to see what would that look like 10, 20 years out, and how do we deal with that?
Okay, councillors, thank you for that, and thank you to all of our guests for a very comprehensive and informative presentation and meeting. Everybody safe home, and for those that need to hang back and have a few words with Roland and his team, don't forget you have a breakfast meeting in the morning.
That's right, 8 o'clock sharp, 8 o'clock.